And welcome in to in-game chat for Saturday, September 7th, 2024. It is season 18, episode 30. I'm Scott.
And I'm RJ.
Welcome into the show, everybody. If you'd like to get in touch with us, check out Twitch. Go to Twitch TV, Twitch.tv is how you get there. It's been forever since I've given this out. Twitch.tv, go there, search for our name. Look, go to ingamechat.net, scroll to the bottom, you'll find everything. I don't have to do all this, but you can find everything. We're talking about Twitch. You can find our Discord as well, so you can jump in there and talk with us while we're on Discord. Twitch, you can use the chat room in there and talk to us. We got people in there right now. RJ, of course, in there. Bama Brian, AC Wraith, Super Game Sniper hanging out there right now. Also, Bama Brian reminded me to do this nice, convenient thing for me later on. It's like past self telling future self, hey, doing you a favor. So, welcome to the show, everybody. Thank you for joining us. We have had a week off here, and we are back to do more video game chatting. You can find us on Twitch and watch the show. There are probably links in our Discord as well to get to, like, Twitch and all those other places so you can see the show and, you know, interact with us and everything else that you want to do as well. So, it's all there for you. Check it out, ingamechat.net. Welcome in, RJ. You want to hit up everybody with what you played over the 2 weeks?
Well, for the most part, usually the same thing over and over again. Played some more baseball with MLB The Show. Trying to get a little further. Instead of playing the season, I've started going back to my Road to the Show file to see if I can get to the majors from the minor leagues.
Yeah.
Right now, my character's in AAA, and if I keep my consistency up, it won't be no time before I get into the majors. See how well I can do with, instead of a created or custom character, see what I can do with someone I built from the ground up. So see if I get a little more accomplishment out of that.
Yeah.
Still garbage at batting, but that's something I'm going to work on. Besides, I'm a pitcher anyway, so I ain't got to worry about batting too much, really. So I ain't got to put too much effort in that. Had some more time with Virtua Fighter 5, Final Showdown. Had some more time with the league that I was playing in for the weekend. Had a good session with that. Learned a few things. Like I said before, you never have too much experience to not learn something new. Mm-hmm. Especially playing fighting games, because there's always strategies being changed and tweaked on every day. So you're going to experience something new if you play it long enough. Then I had some time with GTA Online. They got an event going on with bikers, biker missions. We get double income from your sales. So going to be pushing more illegal drugs all over Los Santos and getting more money, because that's the goal of the game anyway, to do that.
You dealer.
Yeah, that's right. You have to. You gotta have to.
That's okay. There's
a lot of things dealing with folks who try to break your deal.
There's a game that I had installed on my PC for the longest time, but I don't have it on there now, and I need to go back to it. I wanted to play it, and I never did. And now I'm. Is it Drug Cartel Tycoon or Drug Cartel? I don't remember.
Probably something simulator.
It is. It's something like that. Like, you have to, and it starts in like
crime simulator.
South America or Colombia or something like that. I don't know. It doesn't take place in the U.S., although I'm sure the U.S. is involved in some way or another. Mm-hmm. But you have to, like, clear the fields, build your houses where you're processing. I mean, just all this stuff that goes, and then your trade routes and everything else.
So it's Farm Simulator, but with drugs.
Well, you know, I'm gonna have to look it up.
Yeah.
which is where I'm headed now.
You describe clearing the fields and building homes and things to
house. I mean, you have to clear the fields, but you are, you know, it's like, does this area have enough of what I need, you know? Mm-hmm. If you ever looked at, see, this is where it gets me, because it taps into my city builder aspect.
Yeah.
Where it's like, okay, I'm going to build my farm, or I'm going to build my city, or build my trade routes, build my stuff. And you hover over an area, it's like, hey, this has this, this, and this. Hey, that's good for making drugs, I guess. I don't know what it is, but yeah, you plop it down.
Yeah.
And then you do that.
Whatever you need to build product, get it. Mass it together.
I mean, it's insane. Yeah, it really, really is, as far as like how far it goes with that. Although, you know, we also did a game called, why is that not working? That's not what the game was called. The game was called Plague Inc., right?
Yeah.
Where you had to create a disease that could wipe out the planet.
I thought you played as the disease.
You are playing as the disease, yeah. but you're creating, you know, yeah. you okay. are creating the disease that you're going to use to wipe out the planet.
Yeah, I need to get on the cargo ship to go to the
right.
other country, things like that. Yeah.
And you can upgrade your disease to be like, all right, I want to be carried by birds, you know, that way I can spread faster or overseas or over bodies of water.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I want to be immune to other things. Like you get, you know, it's all this stuff and
upgrades.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
Let's go to library, and then let's type in drug and see what we get. Nothing. Cartel? Cartel Tycoon. That is the name of it. There mm-hmm. it is. Cartel Tycoon. Game info and links. Let's go to the store page so I can read you a description of this. Cartel Tycoon is a survival business sim inspired by the 80s and 90s narco trade. Expand and conquer, fight off rival thugs, and evade the authorities, earn people's loyalty, and strive to overcome the doomed fate of a power-hungry drug lord. Yeah. Who? The Moon Mouse is the developer. What else have they done? Yeah, not a lot. Maybe there's some other stuff in here. I can't tell if I'm looking at the publisher page or that's clearly not the developer page because that's just too much stuff. But anyway, yeah, I haven't actually really put any time into it, though. But go ahead. We're talking about you. I just jumped right in there with my drugs. That's what you're doing in GTA.
Yeah, selling drugs.
Yeah, peddling your wares.
Yeah. And let's see. Other than that, most recently, I finally spent some time on The First Descendant. Placed on PS4.
Yeah.
Nice little, I don't know, hero shooter or multiplayer shooter, that type of game.
Mm-hmm.
Destiny-ish, I guess, if you want to call it that. Got a Titan, close to a Titan anyway. I got a character named Ajax, who is a defensive specialist who uses heavy weapons and has armor and things like that, and more of a defensive nature. So
yeah.
I started playing with him. No, I had a really nice.
It's free to play, isn't it?
Yeah,
it is. It is free to play.
It's free to play. Had a really good time with it. You know, it's a basic fanfare. You have a basic story of the last bastion of humanity being threatened by this dimensional.
Oh, that old chestnut, right?
Yeah. Dimensional portal open, so these alien entities come in. They're threatening humanity, so you got to stop them. You have various missions that you go to. Different mission types. You can play with people or go solo if you want. You can go solo if you want to. I tried that, and it didn't go very well, especially on some missions. So it might be in your best interest to try teaming up with folks, even if it's random. Because there were some missions there where, I'll give you an example, one where I had to gather supplies for this a bin or whatever. I had to get these supplies. You have to take out enemies to get the supplies to put them in this bin so they can be gathered up over time and sent to where it needs to be. Unfortunately, the problem is if you spend too much time in between taking out enemies, the percentage of completion starts to dwindle. So you can have like 25%, and all of a sudden, if you're not paying attention, you'll be at like 13 before you even notice it. You have to keep taking out enemies as quickly as possible. And if your gear's not up to snuff, you're not gonna make it. So, like I said, you go around the map and explore different parts of the map, unlock different territories, have different type of missions that you go to. And it's basically getting loot like you did in Borderlands. And the loot keeps coming constantly. You're not going to get a favorite weapon early. It's going to be much later in the game when you max out your levels before you get a weapon you can settle on.
What's the monetization like in that game?
You have buyable currency online to pick up some...
to buy what, though?
Cosmetic stuff, basically.
All cosmetics?
Usually cosmetics, from what I saw so far. But I think there's some parts in there, if I'm looking around the store enough, and I really didn't. But I think there's some parts in there you can buy... equipment to modernize your weapon, something like that, to improve the stats on your weapons, because you can build.
Really? So you can buy things to improve your stats?
Improve your stats and weapons and things like that, but you can't get it in-game. You just have to grind for it.
So wait now.
You can buy it or grind for it.
You can buy it with real-world money,
or buy the currency
that's used in whatever the case may be.
Or you can grind for it, yeah.
Really?
So there's some, I need to get
some... That feels kind of pay-to-win-ish a little bit. Like, that's kind of knocking on the door of pay-to-win.
Maybe, but...
If you can upgrade your stuff with money.
You can, yeah. But it's, like I said, it's optional. I could grind this thing that I upgraded. I grinded for it. I could buy it, but I grinded for it because it wasn't that much of a deal. It's like I needed a material to get, and all I had to do was keep picking up weapons and sell them off, and I get the material I needed to synthesize it in the main headquarters of the game.
Yeah.
So, like I said, you can buy it if you want for convenience. Cause that's what it seems to be going to make it tedious so that it'd be more convenient for you to buy it.
I suppose.
Yeah. So just you can go that route.
Like I said, feels kind of pay to winish. But yeah, what else you played?
No, that's pretty much it.
That's it.
Yep.
That's it. All right. Jumping over into the games that I've been playing, it has basically been. My problem is I can't remember what I talked about 2 weeks ago when I was on the show to tell you what I've been playing or what I've been doing. Nothing's really changed that much that I know of. It's basically been Marvel Snap. I swear, though, I thought I tried to play something else. Watched a lot of videos about games. Really, though, it's just been... I streamed a lot of Marvel Snap. And I may do some more of that tomorrow. I've got some plans for streaming tomorrow.
Did you get some bigger, better decks or cards to play with?
I got some nice variants. Okay. I did not... Today, I pulled for cards. But over, I think, one weekend, I did pull for a card, I believe, and I got it in one, which is the one I wanted. And then last week, I didn't pull for any cards. I didn't need or didn't want any of those cards. And this week, the Spotlight had two cards that I really wanted, and it took me three keys to get it. No, it took me four keys to get it. That sucks.
How much is each key? How much you have to go through to get a key?
You get a key after after moving up the collection rank, which is really hard to describe without having something to show you in front of you to tell it. But basically, when you upgrade a card, and you upgrade a card by earning boosters, you earn boosters through play, you earn boosters through completing missions or little things. You earn boosters like just playing. You get boosters.
Yeah,
boosters are specific per card. Also, just by playing, you get credits. Credits are what costs to upgrade cards. You can absolutely pay money to get credits. You can pay money to get boosters for certain cards because they'll have special packages available where it's like, hey, here's a variant of this person's card. Along with that, you'll get this much gold, which is also in-game currency. You'll also get this many boosters for this specific character.
Sounds like similar to what's in First Ascend. There are bundles that come with extra stuff that will boost your character up.
So when you upgrade a card, if you upgrade a card one time, it costs like 25 credits and... I don't know, five boosters. And that gives you one collection rank. If you upgrade it again, I think it gives you two or three. And then when you go further, so you go from, I can't remember all the levels, but there's 3D, there's frame break, there's shiny logo, which is stupid. There's Infinite, that's the final one. Infinite gives you, I think, 10 levels in the collection level. And you can upgrade well past. In other words, if I've got enough credits and I've got enough boosters for a card that I've never upgraded before, but I've got enough to take it all the way to Infinite, you get the credit for all those other levels that you've done. So not only will you get the 10 for Infinite, you'll get the 1 for the first one. You get something like 30 when you go from bare bones to infinite on a card.
So you get everything in between.
Yeah. You get all that stuff in between, and it raises your rank like 30 some odd levels.
Okay.
And every, I don't know exactly what it's set at, but it's like every 70th level or something like that, you get a key. Yeah.
So essentially just grind for it.
You do. You really just grind. You grind. And I did that. Now I had 7 keys. I spent them. I got Mockingbird, which is who I was looking for. I got Red Agent. I think it was U.S. Agent. I think
U.S.
it was.
Agent.
Yeah, it's U.S. Agent.
The one looked like Captain America.
I was going to say, I've got Red Guardian, but this was U.S. Agent. The variant for U.S. Agent looks really good. But anyway, I got U.S. Agent, and I got an extra Red Hulk, which I converted that into some tokens, which is another currency. Three types of currency in this game. And then I finally pulled, because at that point, really they tell you, if you want a card, you make sure you got four keys, because that's a good chance you're going to get the card you want. It's very random.
Mm-hmm.
So I had already pulled three, and it was like, I'm pretty sure my next pull is going to be the card, and I did, and I got Silver Sable. So, and that was this morning that I pulled all that. And yeah, so I don't know. I've just been playing that, been going through. I'm in an alliance with some other folks from old Colony of Gamers. I got out of the alliance I was in and jumped into the Colony of Gamers alliance. And so we're going through and just doing stuff like that. And I'm just playing Snap. I thought I played something else. I feel like I played something else. And I don't know why my brain is telling me. I can't figure out what I played. Steam would tell me. Right? You're Hopefully. Not. You're going to tell me, right, Steam? My problem is that I feel like I played something else, but actually, I don't think I have. I think I've really given thought about playing something else. I was really considering playing Star Wars Outlaws.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can subscribe to Ubisoft Plus. I think it's $17 a month. And if you subscribe for $17, I could play Star Wars Outlaws for the entire month. You know, just do a 1 month thing, play it, and be good. Mm-hmm. That's it. But the more I read about Star Wars Outlaws, or at least the more I was reading into it, I was like, nope. No, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah, I saw some things that made me think wait and see on that one.
Yeah. View my profile. Will my profile tell me what games I've been playing? Doesn't it normally? Ah, yes. There we go. Here we go. Here we go. Now we're better. Okay, good. I played Duck Detective, The Secret Salami. That was fun. The thing's got a... by the way, I 100%ed the achievements on that thing. It's sitting at overwhelmingly positive with 2,931 reviews. I mean, it's good.
It entertained you, right?
It really did. Oh, it's got a soundtrack. Yeah, you know, it's just it's got some great, fantastic voice work in it, and you're going to hear a lot of voices in that. All the characters talk, and so yeah, it was a fun little detective game. And then it gave you a thing after it was over with, as far as like, hey, this many percentage of people picked this person as the culprit and did this and that sort of thing. So it was kind of nice. It was nice. What else did I do? I picked up a game called Tactical Breach Wizards. That was interesting, and I'm still playing it. I've liked it, or I've enjoyed what I've played with it. Tactical Breach Wizards. I would like to give you an idea of what it is. It's basically a... remember Stealth Inc.?
Yeah.
So it's kind of like that, just not being stealthy. Yeah, you're basically, it's kind of Dungeons & Dragons mixed with Stealth Inc. sort of, where you have to move in that isometric view type of thing. Very XCOM, well, I say XCOM, it's not even like that, but still, it's got that isometric view. And your team are, you got a wizard, and you've got a, like, oh, God, I can't remember what she
is. Was it Stealth Inc. or Invisible Inc.?
It was Invisible Inc.
Okay.
You're right. It was Invisible Inc.
Yeah.
Not Stealth Inc. I don't know. There's probably a game called Stealth Inc.
Probably is. Let's see.
But yeah, you play as you play as many different people on the team.
There is?
That's what I figured.
Stealth Inc., yeah.
Yeah. There's like a wizard and a witch and a couple of other things that are in there as well. I was trying to see if they had a list. But yeah, anyway, Tactical Breach Wizards, it's out now on Steam, and I've enjoyed what I've played with, and I want to put some more time in it. What else did I pick up? I picked up something called, and I'm going to mispronounce this, is it Beton Brutal? B-E-T-O-N, and then Brutal is the other name. It is strictly platforming. It is absolutely platforming. It is first-person platforming.
So Mirror's Edge?
Yes, but not, It's yeah, kind of. I mean, to be honest, yeah.
I mean, I can't think of any other title other than that when you say first person
platforming.
Yeah. Because parkour from the first person point of view. Like,
right. There's no parkour in this.
Yeah.
It is mainly you do not take fall damage. There's no health. There's no enemy shooting at you. There's none of that. There is you, and then you just want to go up. That's it. So there's all these different ways to move about the level and continue to go up.
Mm-hmm.
You're timed on it, so you can do speed runs if you want to do that. But you can go, I don't know how high you can go. But I know if you look up, when you're at the bottom, when you're starting near the floor and you look up, you get vertigo, like game-induced vertigo.
Hmm.
In other words, it starts to stretch a little bit.
Mm.
And there's a and I don't know if that benefits you, makes it easier for you to land on smaller platforms and things like that that they have all over the area for you to continue to climb upwards.
Hmm.
I haven't really understood the concept of the vertigo part of it.
Hmm.
But I know when you get higher and you look down, it does the same thing, starts to give you vertigo.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, so I'm not exactly sure on that one. It was as a cheap pickup, but it was also, I think, overwhelmingly positive. So I picked it up. But yeah, so that's what I've been playing, which is taking us to the end of the thing here.
Mm.
But I,
cheap and well liked, man. That's a good combination.
I mean, basically, that's what I was going for.
Yeah.
A lot of the times when I look at Steam, I'm going for what's the cheapest that's on the discount. And how well has it been liked?
Yeah.
Oh, that's got the dreaded orangey-looking mixed review next to it. I'm going to skip that one. Even though it's like $2, like, nah,
yeah, no.
I'll come back to you.
You don't meet both of my criteria.
So yeah, no, it's not. Long. It's one or the other, and it's just not doing that. In fact, oh, I closed it. I was going to see what was up for grabs this weekend. Can I go to my wish list? Store wish list. All right, so let me go to my wish list. We'll do a check here. This is, I'm going to sort it by discounts. What do we got today? Anything overwhelmingly positive? Let me look here. Besiege is $3.75. That is overwhelmingly positive. It is on sale right now. What? See, here's my problem. I got Chance of Sennar, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I talked about this. I played it on Game Pass, and I couldn't understand how to decipher the language.
Yeah.
It's overwhelmingly positive, even though I had an issue with it. But it's on sale, and I'm skipping that. Nine Souls is another platformer that is overwhelmingly positive, but it's on sale for $23.99. You can come down further than that. To me.
Recently released?
Hmm?
Recently released?
Yeah, well, May 29th.
Mm,
so not okay. Too recent. Not too recent. The other part of it is that even while looking at these discounts, what I really, really want to be playing right now, or what I would like to be playing right now, is either Space Marine 2, with co-op and everything that they've got going on with that, or Astrobot. On PlayStation 5. So we're going to get to those here in a bit. I wanted to also, before we go to a break here, because I'll say it now and I'll say it again later in the episode. But I mentioned this on our Twitter page that we're going to be doing it says the balls return this Sunday, and that is pinball.
Mm.
I got a code for two new tables in Pinball Effects.
Okay.
They're reaching back out in touch with me again, so I'm really thankful for that. And offered them, and I said, "Yeah, I'd really like those." And so we're gonna play Silver Ball Sundays tomorrow. I got two brand new tables from Pinball FX 3 to try out for you.
Okay.
One is based on Goat Simulator.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a game I've seen the game played, but it's not a game that I play.
Yeah, but you're familiar with it enough.
Oh, I'm absolutely familiar with it. I just don't know how well I'm going to be able to, like, give you any indication of what's going on while I play it.
Mm-hmm.
The table. Because I'm not going to outside of goats,
mm-hmm.
I'm not going to be able to tell you what the reference is to, you know, the different things that are on the table. However, the other table that I'll be playing is based on The Princess Bride. No problem.
Okay.
Telling you about that one. So I'll look forward to doing those. And I hope that we get more. I hope that this becomes a long-running thing. What I really hope for is they can get my entire collection back on this thing. Because there's a lot of tables I'd like to go back to that I've not played. And they've got some great Williams tables in there that I'd like to play as well. So I don't know. We'll see how that pans out. But yeah, Silver Ball Sunday's tomorrow. I do not know what time. Sometime after I post the show, I might stream some Snap, but then I'll jump into Silver Ball Sundays and stream that. So that is going to happen tomorrow on the show. So there you go. I bet that line is in there, Bama Brian. He says, inconceivable. I absolutely bet that line is in the game. I don't know if they got the original audio from the film. That's also a problem with these. They can license the table, but that doesn't actually get them everything else they need.
Yeah.
So a lot of the times they have to have impersonators and things like that to use the voice work.
Yeah.
And sometimes they were able to, but not always.
Hey, work for Back to the Future.
Yeah. Ooh, I forgot about Pinball M. I need to reach out to them about that too, because I need to also get the tables for Pinball M. I don't know why they... Mature rated pinball tables. I mean, I get it. I know it, but they put Bride of Pinbot out there back in the 80s. That was a little risque. But anyway, we're going to come back. We're going to jump into the news. We're going to jump into, I don't know, just, yeah, whatever you'd like to jump into as well. We'll talk about all of it coming up on In-Game Chat. Here is music. We're going to our older games. On this one, this comes from Outrun 2006. It is called Coast to Coast. That may be the name of the game, subtitle for the game, or it may be a name.
I think it is.
Yeah, you think it is?
Outcoast 2, Coast to Coast, yeah. The updated version, yeah.
Right, okay. Well, that's the name of the game that we're pulling from. I do not know what this track is, but it's from that game, Outrun Coast to Coast. We'll be right back with more of In-Game Chat after this. Back in to In-Game Chat. That is music from Final Fantasy II on the SNES. Game I never played. Game I saw the box art of many, 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 many times. Big red box with just title cross of Final Fantasy II. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
No character on the front. No nothing. Just title.
It's basically either you know it or you don't.
Yeah, red screen or red background title. Boom, there you go. But yeah, that was Final Fantasy II. Interesting to note though that when we went to break earlier, RJ was like, "That title for the Outrun track is called Splash Wave." I was like, "Really?" And it kept playing, and then he went and found it, and yeah, it was called Splash Wave. So good job. That was amazing that you picked that out from what 2006. A track from 2006, I think?
Well, no, the original Outrun.
Oh, they just keep using it over and over again?
They just gotcha. Remix the same. They remix the same three original tracks, and then they added more as time went by. Now, Coast to Coast had a ton of tracks in there, but it's like every Outrun game, you've got to have the three mm-hmm. original songs on the radio that you could pick when the game first came out.
Yeah, we had the 20th or 20, was it 25 or 20? Let's see, this is 2024 to 2014, 14 to 2004. Yeah, 20 years. 20th anniversary of Burnout 3. Mm-hmm. Takedown being released. A game that currently is not available to play anywhere unless you have an Xbox 360.
Not even Steam, not even...
Oh. It's not backwards compatible. It is not on EA Origin or anything like that. If you've got a Xbox 360, you can play Burnout 3 Takedown. If you still got one of those hooked up. However, if you've got a PC... that can emulate, you can also do that as well. And I am seriously considering it. Seriously considering it, not only for the PC. Well, I didn't bring it. I meant to bring it. I forgot. But my Steam Deck.
Mm-hmm.
I would like, yeah. I there was a whole thread about it. People were talking about and showing it off. You know, videos from it and everything else. And it just looked really, really good. And I say it looked really good. I mean, it was triggering the nostalgia.
Yeah.
You know.
You know, there's a lot of titles out there folks have, you know, that they want to play because they had such a good time with it. You know, they'd love to see it back in some form or whatever.
We all hope they would. Yeah. I mean, even if they weren't going to continue the franchise, we always hope they would do a revisit of mm-hmm. the other games in the series. Maybe not Paradise, but go back to, like, Burnout 3, Burnout Revenge.
Mm-hmm.
Specifically those two, and those are probably the two that I'm going to throw in there when I do the emulation. If I ever get around to doing it. But I've looked into what it would take to do it, and I'm more than likely going to make that happen. I would really like those games, if anything. See, now it becomes, you know, when I got my Steam Deck and I put stuff on there and I was just throwing anything and, you know, just everything into the pot.
Yeah.
Just to have it. Now that I've got the old stuff into the pot, now it's like, let me go back and get my favorites that I can't play anymore. Put those in the pot. You know, let me... And I sort of get that preservation mindset of video games.
Mm-hmm.
Where I'm preserving this so that I can play it again and again and it's not going to get taken away from me type of
yeah.
thing.
Yeah,
I totally get that now
mm-hmm.
from wanting to have that game. And then I guess I would look into other... You know, that'll just lead into other games that I would like to... You know, start to curate,
yeah,
and keep as my collection.
Yeah,
I don't care about all the, you know, I don't know how many games I put on that Steam Deck from the NES days, and I don't care. I would go through there and maybe pick a couple out of that I would say those are ones I would preserve. But right now, I kind of think about stuff like that Burnout to save and preserve. So anyway, that's a thought to do that. But yeah, it was the 20th anniversary of Burnout 3. I remember I was working here. I had taken the day off for its release. This was a big deal because this was...
Was it Tuesday?
I believe it was.
Yeah, because there was a time when Tuesday...
Tuesday was the day the game's released.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that it was going to be an Xbox Live title was a big deal. They were going to take Burnout and take it online.
Mm-hmm.
It was EA, which before that was Activision. Acclaim or Activision? I think it was Acclaim.
Probably Acclaim.
Yeah, it was Acclaim. It was Acclaim for Burnout 1 and Burnout 2. And I think, God, it might have been Activision. Anyway, EA bought the franchise, and which is why that seems to tell me it was Acclaim. But EA bought the franchise, and then they released it on Xbox and Xbox Live. And it was a huge deal for it. It was a big, big deal. And I remember taking the day off. However, we were about to do a format flip here at the station that same day. We were doing a lot of different stuff at that particular time in 2004. And I remember the night before I had taken the day off, I stayed here well past midnight working on stuff for the new station and everything else. Me and the boss of the place were here.
Yeah.
I remember we went to a local pizza joint way down there and brought some pizza back because we were here so late working on this.
Yeah, we're going to be here a while.
So. Oh, my God, were we here for a while. So anyway, I do remember that. I remember that specifically. God, I love that game. Loved Burnout. All right, let's jump into the news before I go off on another tangent of thought that I like to do. Let's start with Concord. Bama Brian in the chat room made a nice little comment saying, hey, I just picked up this game called Concord. I haven't had a chance to play it yet, but let's see how it goes. Yeah, Concord is a game that feels like within the span of us doing our last show and now, it was released, it tanked, and it was canceled all in that time.
2 weeks.
I feel like it's been longer than that. But
because of the talk about it or whatever?
Just because the
controversy or the...
The wheels, I say the wheels, the snowball didn't get big enough for me to notice until it said, oh, it's doing really bad. You know, people, you know, it's draining players left and right. It's not doing anything.
Yeah.
And then it got pulled.
Yeah, it was a bunch of...
When did Concord release?
Yeah, from what I got, it was a bunch of people talking about the format of the game, content. People were upset about this and that.
Oh, crap. You might be right. Wait a second.
All types of things.
Hold up. Wow. Okay. It released the Friday before the last show we did.
Mm-hmm.
Within that time, in other words, it released on Friday, August 23rd. We did a show on the 24th, and then we didn't do a show until today.
Right.
So I was absolutely correct.
Yeah, 2 weeks. Yeah.
It released and got pulled from stores in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Wow. Man, that was... I'm only realizing this right now. But the way that I've got it with the news articles is that it was talking about it flopping. Concord shutting down 14 days after launch. Concord is shutting down its servers on September the 6th and will not be playable after that. Today is September the 7th, by the way. Will not be playable after that as its developers explore other options for the sci-fi shooter released last month on PC and PS5. Game struggled to find an audience, never cracking over 1,000 concurrent players on Steam, and quickly became a flop that was also derided by many critics and fans. On September 3rd, Firewalk and Sony shared the news about Concord's shutdown in a blog post. Concord fans, we've been listening closely to your feedback since the launch of the game. We want to thank everyone who has joined the journey aboard the North Star. Your support in the passionate community that has grown around the game has meant the world to us. However, while many qualities of the experience resonated with players, we also recognized other aspects of our game in our initial launch didn't land the way we intended. Therefore, at this time, we have decided to take the game offline beginning September 6th and explore options, including those that will better reach our players. We'll keep you updated, and thanks again to all the blah, 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 blah. So... they also gave refunds. Steam gave store refunds. Epic Games Store gave refunds as well. And Sony gave refunds to everybody who bought it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
I think the running theory is make it free to play to recoup some of the money that they've lost on this title overall. To try to do something to get some of that money back.
I don't know. At this point, I think your name has become... I could easily be wrong on this, and the reason I'm telling you that I could easily be wrong on this is because we've had some real stinkers that have risen from the depths of not just obscurity, but really bad PR, really bad...
No Man's Sky?
No Man's Sky is the biggest one.
Yeah.
And I feel like that is just an outlier. I feel like No Man's Sky...
I'm thinking it is.
...just got the lucky break that most games don't get.
Yeah. I mean, the biggest crime that they did was not living up to the hype that was all that was generated when it was first talked about. But they turned it around. Now, it took them a while.
It took them a good little while
to get it back on its feet again.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I feel like it might be too far gone at this point. Like, you've earned a reputation now. And I don't know how you fix this. I don't know what the problems were in the game. I really haven't read up on this. It was only around for 2 weeks, right?
Yeah.
It didn't attract players. I don't know why it didn't attract players. I haven't looked at the reason why people weren't playing it or what the common consensus was of like, no, it's a shooter. I don't want to pay money for a shooter. It feels like multiplayer shooters like this, if they're not free to play, then people just don't join in on them. Although Helldivers 2 was the same thing. It just wasn't massive. It was like a three-teamer type thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'm not exactly sure. And I don't know, again, I don't know a lot about this game. It was around for 2 weeks. I don't know how many people could play it at the same time. I didn't know if it was constant multiplayer type stuff. I don't know anything about it. I really, really don't know. I don't know that it can be salvaged. It all depends. Even if they release it as free to play, that's not really going to help.
Maybe they'll try to Suicide Squad it.
Yeah, there you go. What, just...
No, Suicide Squad was originally a game that was supposed to be something else, and they went to the free-to-play mode and then tried to tweak it up here and there and put it out as something else.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do. I don't know what... That's a... And let me see if this article goes into it.
I'd say check on it about a year or two.
Yeah, this article doesn't go into it, but it does make me wonder, like, what is the plan? I'm reading more articles here. The only faster cancellation that comes immediately to mind is a game called The Day Before. Remember that?
Nope.
Oh, we talked about it, though. Remember, there was a game that was supposed to be released, and then they, about 2 weeks before it was supposed to hit Steam, they delayed it. Then they went radio silent for like a year and said nothing about it.
So it was never released.
Then they came back and wanted to call it something, but then they got a lawsuit because there's already like an app or there's already a something that uses that name, and so they couldn't use that name.
Okay.
Yeah, it was a shooter type thing, looked very much...
But did it ever get released?
It did. Yeah, it did. It did.
Okay.
It did get released. However, it only lasted 4 days.
Okay.
Before it died. It took an entire development studio with it, by the way. The Concord lasted 1 week longer than The Day Before. This article from PC Gamer says it also stands in very sharp contrast with the confidence that Sony seemed to have in the game pre-release. Sony actually acquired Firewall Studios in 2023 solely on the perceived strength of Concord. And apparently there's going to be an episode in that... Amazon series coming up in December that has a bunch of little
the compilation type.
Yeah. There was going to be one that was based on Concord in that thing. There still is going to be one based on Concord because it's all set. But yeah, that'll be interesting. The near complete disinterest in the game and subsequent decision to give up on it after less than 2 weeks is tough to see from the outside looking in, and no doubt so much tougher for developers to experience firsthand. They said there's going to be a lot of takes today, but wanted to say this. Launching a game is really hard, and a bunch of incredible talent worked to bring this game to us, which is what Daryl Nelson tweeted. He's a former Bungie employee and Blizzard employee. Firewalk didn't deserve this, and I hope that the team can recover and regroup for this. Don't want to retweet any clickbait or attract trolls, so I'll just say my heart goes out to everyone at Firewalk Studios regarding today's news. That was from Josh Scheer, and I'm probably mispronouncing his name, and I apologize. He's a writer for Naughty Dog, worked on Uncharted and Last of Us. Just a lot of people say, man, really feel bad for the devs and the studios that are working on this. It's one of those things that just kind of... It fails, and it sucks when a game fails. It hurt, you know. That's jobs. That's livelihoods that are failing as well. So, I mean, I hate it, but it's a thing that happens in the gaming industry. They can't all be winners, obviously. So, I don't know. Again, going back to Concord, I don't know much about it. I really don't know much about it. It never interested me. Never at all. even at free to play. Like, I asked you about First Ascendant, and I looked at First Ascendant, and I was like, yeah, maybe. Even free to play, I didn't do it. Yeah. I got Suicide Squad for free, right? From the mm-hmm. Amazon Prime thing. It's still right. in my Epic Game Store. I haven't installed it. You know, I haven't actually put it, you know, put any time into it. So.
Ever since you got it, just.
Yeah, yeah.
Just,
no,
just
I'm,
been sitting there.
But
okay.
I'm, my point of that being yeah, is yeah. that. Hmm. Really take something to get me interested to, I'm going to download this and I'm going to play it.
Mm-hmm.
Free to play is hard to get me to do that. I don't know why that is. Mainly because if I feel like it's free to play, I don't feel like I need to put any time in it at the moment. It's always going to be there. It's free whenever I need to, so I'll get to it when I can.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So that's, I guess maybe that's my thought, you know, let me go to a game I actually put money into and play that, you know, let me go to a game I just bought or a game that I bought 2 weeks ago and let me play that rather than playing a free to play game, I suppose. I'm not exactly sure as to why, but it never interests me. Never did. I remember seeing the trailer for that thing. I was actually kind of excited whenever I think Sony opened one of their State of Plays with a trailer for the game, and I was watching it, and the animation and everything else looked really good. I had to understand what I was seeing was not gameplay, that yeah. I was still being pitched on whatever this is, mm-hmm. and I'm like, whatever this is seems to hold promise, and then it turned into, oh, it's a looter shooter thing. It's a whatever Concord is, you know, and that immediately was like, turn off.
Mm-hmm.
Great. I hope some people enjoy you, but I will not be one of them. Just did not seem interesting to me. That's it. So, anyway, that's what's going on with Concord. So, yeah. Oh, what else do we have? Yeah, people are now rushing to sell Concord for way too much now that it's shutting down. So people are trying to sell the game. Also, there were people trying to get as many achievements as they could and get their level up as much as they could to before the game ended. I say people. I don't know how many people it was. It ain't many because they had to shut it down. So, yeah. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we have more news for you. I have no idea what else I've got here, but I do have... I mean, it's been 2 weeks, so yeah, we got more stuff to talk about, and we will get to it all coming up on In-Game Chat. Going back to late 90s on this, this might be mid to late 90s. Ico.
Yeah.
On the PlayStation 2? Was it 2 or was it 1? It's 2. PlayStation 2.
Hmm.
Yeah. This is called Castle in the Mist. We'll be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. Welcome back into hour number two of In-Game Chat. Music here from Rocket Knight. I think it's Rocket Knight Advance. I don't know. Rocket Knight Adventure. I don't know. Stage 6 is the music where this comes from.
I think I remember Rocket Knight Adventures.
Maybe that's what that's from. Yeah. It says ADV, and I would have easily spelled it that way. Adventures. So, but I was thinking Advance, but Rocket Knight... That wasn't Nintendo, was it? That was Sega. Or was it both?
I know it was on PlayStation because it was like a PlayStation Plus deal for me.
Oh, was it? Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Well, never mind. I was thinking Advance, like Game Boy Advance. But no, yeah.
It probably was. I mean, it was a popular franchise, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Rocket Knight Adventures.
That's what it is then. Stage 6 on that one. Welcome back into In-Game Chat here, going over the news. You know, we were talking about Concord being pulled.
Oh, Genesis. Yeah.
Genesis?
Yeah.
Was it? I was
yeah.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. I really got more confidence in my memory. I don't trust. I used to have a lot of confidence in my memory, but I don't trust it anymore. Mm-hmm. I really don't. I do not trust my memory anymore. We were talking about Concord being pulled from shelves after just 2 weeks. And to jump into other games that are having bad days, Ubisoft's stock sank to a 10-year low as Star Wars Outlaws underperformed. It's the first Star Wars, it's the first open world Star Wars game ever. But their share price fell 12.6% since the release of Outlaws on August 27th. The market results indicate that it is not a hit. A analyst said that the game had struggled to meet sales expectations despite positive critical reviews. The analyst lowered his sales expectations for the game from $7.5 million to $5.5 million through March of next year, noting that Outlaw's budget was at least 30% higher than last year's Assassin's Creed Mirage. Look, the Ubisoft Plus is really kind of a cool deal. I like it. Mm-hmm. There, you can play anything. On PC, if you do Ubisoft Plus, you can do Ubisoft Classic, and that gets you, you know, a limited amount of games that you can play. Ubisoft Plus gets you everything. All the Assassin's Creed, Assassin's Creeds, all the Far Cries, all Ubisoft titles. Not only that, it cross plays, cross saves, all that stuff. So if I buy Ubisoft Plus, if I spend my $17 a month on Ubisoft Plus on PC, I'm also picking it up on Xbox. Mm-hmm. So I can go to my Xbox Series X, download the Ubisoft games I want to play on there, and my progression will carry over to both. So, yeah, I know it's also $20 a month, but you get access to a lot of games. I mean, I'm already, I don't know what I'm paying on Game Pass, but that's a good example to use for me to not do it. How much am I using Game Pass? Not a whole lot. I keep telling myself I need to log in again and see what's new and put some playtime into it, but I never do. Yeah, they do.
Game Pass Ultimate?
Yeah, yeah. Game Pass Ultimate.
And $20 a month.
Yeah, exactly. So there you go. And I'm not doing much with that, so I'm not sure what I would do with this.
Has it gone the route of cable? Like you're paying triple digit dollars a month, and you only got like two channels out of the 700 you got.
I mean, that maybe type of mentality. It's close to that because yeah. You know, EA also offers something like that as well, an mm-hmm. EA subscription plan where you can play all the games that they have mm-hmm. forever, what the price is a month. So yeah, one of the benefits.
Select your streaming services.
Yeah, yeah, one of the benefits of doing it straight from the developer, like EA or like Ubisoft, is that subscribing to that service gets you the uber mega editions of the games, whatever they are. You know what I'm saying? And I know that's like a whatever, but that also gets you the early access part mm-hmm. of that. So when the game, if the game's set to release on a Friday, you can start playing it on a Monday, mm-hmm. Which is fine. If you're into that, that's totally cool. No big deal. My point being is that there's some benefits to it, but even with benefits, how often am I going to use it? I have Game Pass, and I rarely use it. Mm-hmm. So what's the point of doing this? I don't know. So, yeah. I might do it when Assassin's Creed Shadows hits to play that. I'm actually interested in that. But I'm also interested in that new Prince of Persia that they have, the roguelike Prince of Persia mm-hmm. that's out. There's probably a lot more other games that Ubisoft has that I'm kind of interested in. So, yeah. And games that I've never played from them before as well. So it's something to look at down the line, but I'm definitely not interested for Star Wars Outlaws. So, yeah, apparently it didn't do good, but I know a lot of people are playing it and most of them enjoying it. I was telling RJ, I figured, you know, if Matt ever came back, he'd be telling us that, you know, how much he's playing it and how much he's enjoying it. Mm. But we figured he would be, right? He's very, very familiar with the setting, the content. He's extremely familiar with it. So he's going to get the most enjoyment out of it, I would think. Or be the most critical of it, mm-hmm. perhaps. So
fits in his wheelhouse. I'm not sure if he's playing it or not. I figure if he is listening, we'll get something from him here in a minute. I am playing it. So, yeah. Yeah, I know. Matt's a made-up person that we don't ever... he's a guy that shows up from time to time and only heard about in myths and legends. So, not only did Ubisoft have a bad time with that one, Rocksteady was hit by layoffs after the Suicide Squad game underperformed. The company's QA department has seen its size almost cut in half over the past month, from 33 team members to 15, with poor sales of Suicide Squad directly cited as a reason for its restructuring. The job losses extend outside of Q&A too. One staff member, posting publicly on social media over the weekend, revealed they had been told that they were being made redundant in the middle of their paternity leave. Eurogamer, which is where I'm reading this from, had contacted Suicide Squad for comment, or Warner Brothers for comment, but never received any. Of course, you're not going to get any on that. But anyway, yeah, so it was not good for them. I wish they had realized this. I could have told them this. There's a large number of people, a very large number of people that could have said, don't do this. Don't do this. Don't go this direction. Don't do it. But they did it anyway. And again, like I said, it always sucks when games fail like this because it's livelihoods and everything else. The developers are not the people to blame on a lot of this. It's the higher-ups who say that, you know, put this in your game. Or if you don't, we'll fire you and put somebody in here who will do that. We'll put that in our game. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It just... Sorry. I didn't know what that was coming from. Yeah. But no, that was the point, is that it's somebody else making the game. The developers are just told what to put in the game, and everybody else is telling them, nope, you got to put in this, you got to put in this, we want this. We want this game to make more money after it's released and people buy it. That's how we're going to keep doing this. But it's not going to work.
Mm.
I don't think it'll work for them. So what do we got? Nintendo did a Nintendo Direct. I don't know if it was last, it was week before last that they did. And we got to look at some... a Balatro update. Mm-hmm. Where are you playing Balatro?
Steam and PS4.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was released on PS4, but I know on Steam it got the Friends of Jimbo update. It was a free update.
Okay.
Where it put in characters from The Witcher, Dave the Diver, Among Us, Vampire Survivors.
That was on PS4.
Yeah. Oh, was it? Okay.
The last update I did on PS4 did have those things with the...
Okay, I wasn't
Jokers,
sure.
Yeah.
There
was a setting on there that said, would you want to do with Witcher, Dave the Diver, things
right.
like that. Yeah. There was something like that on there.
I wasn't sure if it was in that or not, because I wasn't sure if it was both or not, whatever the case was. By the way, did you see where we're getting... Balatro on our phones?
Oh, I did not.
It's coming out September the 26th, I think, later this month.
Okay.
They're doing, it'll be on Android and Apple phones.
Mm-hmm.
You can play Balatro. So, What else did they have to say? Oh, we got to look at Neva or Neva. It's the same people who did Gris.
Okay.
Which is a beautiful, beautiful game. Neva looks just as beautiful as well. Comes out October 15th. I believe it's also for more than just Switch. I think PC, Switch, probably for, you know, all consoles as well. We got a release date on that. Moth Qubit was a bug-centric RPG. Task you for uncovering the secret of the mysterious insect megacorp that you work for. Spring of 2025. Coffee Talk Tokyo, which basically, if you know about Coffee Talk... and Coffee Talk 2.0 or whatever it is, it takes place, I think, in Seattle, and you just have conversations with people you were serving coffee to as well. Sea of Stars, Throes of the Witchmaker, which is also an RPG. It's DLC for Sea of Stars, by the way. Power Wash Simulator is getting Shrek Swamp. So it's a nice little tie-in. I don't know if it's just for Nintendo or if you're also getting for Switch or if you're also getting it on PC. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure.
That's the house washing one, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Game called Morsels. Mm-hmm. It's a top-down roguelike shooting actioner. not sure interested in it or not. Date everything. It's a dating simulator. Well, you'll be able to romance 100 different characters that personify household objects, like cabinets and shelves, or concepts like your overwhelming sense of dread. It's personified, and you can date it.
Okay. Unique. I'll give it that.
Each object and concept is rendered to look as sexy as possible. And you'll choose if you want to foster love, hate, or friendship with each of them. Find the object of your desires October 24th when Date Everything releases. By the way, they're exactly right in that description, but it was the names of the characters that I really, really enjoyed. That was really the hook. The way they looked, like when the blinds were personified into a person, how they personified objects, keeping it so that you could kind of guess what they are just from the way that they were, you know, outfitted.
Yeah.
But then they had a name as well that helped that. And I don't have any examples here for you. I guess if I played the trailer,
I can.
Huh?
I do.
You got it in front of you?
Yeah. I'll give you an example. Dude's dressed in red and white. His name is Hoover.
Right, he's a vacuum. Yeah,
vacuum.
Yeah. Exactly. What's another one that we had?
A young woman dressed in black and gold. Her name is Keys. And she's standing next to the item that she's the personification of.
She's just key? Just house keys?
Black and gold.
Keys.
Ivories.
Keys. Oh, black. Well, I thought that was black and white.
The logo looks gold on the basically a piano.
A piano,
keys.
Yeah.
Keys. So yeah, that's what her name is.
This
keys
person has like a lampshade halter top, and her name is I have no idea is Lux, and of course it is a lamp.
Mm-hmm.
God, there's so many different ones. Wendolin is a window. Oh, that's a rather regular name, Timothy. Timothy is the, you know, the cat clock where the tail goes and the eyes go back and forth?
Yeah. Yep.
Anyway, I thought, I didn't mean to close it. Anyway, I thought that was interesting. Those were some of the games that Nintendo talked about at the Indie and Nintendo Direct and Indie Showcase that they were doing. So, a lot of good stuff there. I closed out the window, so I'm not going to go back to it. What else? We can do some short stuff here before we got to take a break. There's a Destiny mobile game in the works. Super Game Sniper in the chat room mentioned this way at the beginning of the show. I have not looked into this. A Destiny mobile game is reportedly in development over at NetEase under the name Destiny Rising. Could be announced soon. The rumor originally came from somebody on Twitter who said that Destiny Rising hasn't been canceled despite Bungie's recent layoffs. The game will reportedly have hero characters instead of having players create their own characters. However, it seemingly will still retain the same kind of feeling of playing Destiny on console or PC, just on mobile. Bloomberg reported that in 2022, when Sony bought Bungie, the developer went ahead and hired new employees to work on several incubation projects, including mobile versions of Destiny. It's possible Destiny Rising is one of those. However, a Destiny spinoff, codenamed Payback, was reportedly canceled. Bungie referred to that as the next Destiny instead of Destiny 3. However, all that's changed after the firings and the restructuring and everything else that's going on at Bungie as well. So if we get a Bungie or if we get a Destiny mobile game, I might take a look at it, but I don't think it's going to change my feeling on mobile games. It's not that I don't like mobile games, but depending on what you have to do in them, like Balatro seems perfectly fit to be in a mobile game, right?
Okay.
It is you'd play it.
Card games are almost always on mobile devices all the time. So yeah, I can see that. Then I can see that if that's the case.
Yeah, you play it in landscape mode.
Mm-hmm.
And you
for
know,
Bellagio's case, you'd have to.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, it would. I think it would work. I think it would work perfectly. Mm-hmm. Destiny, depending on what they would do, I don't know if it's still going to be one of those things where you have the controls on the screen and you're moving your character around with whatever and you're shooting. No, I'm not doing it. Mm-hmm. I'm not doing it. I'm really not doing it. But I don't know what else you would do outside of it being like an idler. You know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not exactly sure how it's going to fit. It'll be interesting to see how they tie that in, and more than likely they'll tie it into the game itself, which if they do that, I'll probably just pass on it anyway.
I guess in my case, mobile gaming, I never got into because I do have a PC. When I mean, I know I barely play on PC, but I do have a PC and a console to play mm-hmm. my games on, the type of games that I play. And I've seen some mobile games in action. I'm too far removed from the action or in terms of controlling it.
Yeah.
Looking at it, it doesn't feel like I'm directly involved in what's really going on, especially in the types of games I play. I mean, I've seen mobile games for Street Fighter on there, and I'm like, I couldn't do it. Yeah. I saw you tap this, tap that, and that's all you got. There's no intricate combos to pull off. It's just the same move over and over again. It just wasn't doing it for me.
Doesn't pull me in. Doesn't do anything like that for me. So, depending on how they make that work, it likely will do the same thing and not pull me in. Mm. What was the other? I don't do a lot of mobile games. Like I said, Snap is one of those. Snap's on PC. If I had Snap on PlayStation and Xbox, which they're not, or Switch, then, you know, maybe. But I still like the fact that I can play the game just randomly when I got like 5 minutes. Here, let me play a round of Snap. Boom, done. Yeah. You know? It's a nice little break.
Yeah. In Bellagio's case, you can quit any time.
Well, that's the other thing. With Bellagio, that'll be another thing that I absolutely do. I'll just play a little bit of it when it's time, you know, just close out, go back. It'll remember.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's going to have integration with your PC. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
If it's going to your phone and then going to work on your PC or whatever. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's going to work. Super Game Sniper says, I still play Pokemon Go, but that's it. I did for a little while, but I am not a Pokemon person. I've never really played the games outside of Pokemon Go. That's it. That's the only time I ever put into Pokemon. So, I believe there is. Yeah, I mean, there's items that you can... AC Wraith says, I think there are mobile fighting games you can use a controller with. They plug into the USB charger port. There are devices... And I remember recently thinking about picking one up, and I don't remember for what reason. Oh, because I could stream my Xbox games to my Xbox mobile app on my phone.
Mm-hmm.
But playing them was going to be really weird to do. And so they have these things that plug into your phone that basic
some attachments on the side.
Yeah, like, that basically turn the controller.
On, like the cons on the
on the Switch. On the Switch. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And so I was kind of curious about that. I never even went through with it, and I never considered it afterwards. But yeah, there are ones that do that. I'm glad I didn't do it because I don't do any gaming on my phone. Mm-hmm. Outside of, you know, word games and little things like that. Not anything that requires a whole lot of...
Simple things like a Wordle.
Yeah, you know, just stuff like that. Yeah. Little things like that that don't require you to have a keyboard and mouse or a controller or something.
What was that game you were playing? Not Words? Was that something that
Yeah.
You play on your phone?
But you can also play it on your PC too. Yeah. It is on Steam.
Mm-hmm.
Where you can play it on Steam there as well. Not Words is fun. I haven't done my Saturday word today. Which I'm not about to open it up and do it now, by the way.
No.
Even though I just grabbed my phone and I went to look at it, I'm not about to do that now. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll have the final segment here of the show for today, for this week. We've got music here because this is the reason that I was bringing up Burnout stuff, was the fact that it was the 20th anniversary of Burnout 3. I was looking for Burnout music. I got two tracks from the game. This one comes from Burnout Dominator. The only reason I use this is because it is a remix of the main music that was used in Burnout 2, which is a game I played over and over and over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. Burnout 2 is the one that got me into it. Mm-hmm. When Burnout 2 Point of Impact released, I played it, or I rented it, or I don't know what I did. But I played it, and the crash mode just instantly pulled me in. And people were coming over, and we would try to make the... I was like, look at this crash! And I mean, you got to understand how old this is, and it looked like crap compared to what we see now. Yeah. But at that time, we were just like, oh, man, look at that. All the sparks going on and the explosions and all these things happening. And we're just like, oh, man, you can just create a massive pileup of cars. Mm-hmm. It was great. And that's the one that got me into it. So I've heard this music a lot over the years. So, yeah, this is from Burnout Dominator. Enjoy. We'll be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. Back into In-Game Chat. That is your double dose of Burnout there. We went out to Burnout Dominator. We came back to Burnout 3. The track is called Shine. Burnout 3 was the first one to use, it was the first one in the series to use what was called EA Tracks at that time, where it was licensed music used in the game. So, yeah. And then they did it for all the others. Burnout Revenge, Burnout Paradise. Although for Paradise, using Paradise City was, I mean, it was a no-brainer to use that. So there's a game that I don't know how long that licensing is going to last for Paradise City.
Yeah, well, I still got it, so.
Yeah.
I can play it.
Same here, yeah. Do they still use EA Tracks in sports? Lethal Bagram says they still have EA Tracks in their sports games. I haven't played an EA sports game in forever to know if they still use EA Tracks. Mm-hmm. I miss, what was it, EA Big?
Yeah, Big.
Yeah. I miss that.
Yeah.
Those were good titles in that lineup.
Yeah.
It's where I came to love SSX.
SSX, yeah.
And what was the other one, NBA Street?
NBA Street.
Was that also, you're thinking of Def Jam?
Def Jam Vendetta, because I could have swore I saw the EA Big thing come on there. Yeah, it was on there.
Yeah?
EA Big.
Don't know why that went away. So. All right, back into the news. Let's see what we've got here. The Legacy of Kane, Soul Reaver. Graphic novel, Kickstarter campaign, got through $1 million on its milestone, which means we're going to get the graphic novel for Legacy of Kain Soul Reaver. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping that we're going to hear about a Legacy of Kain remaster or something. That's another series. There you go. There's another one. In fact, when I did my Steam Deck, I was like NES, Super NES, Genesis. That's about where I stopped. Mm-hmm. But now I want to go back and I want to get my Legacy of Kain, then Soul Reaver 2, mm-hmm. Blood Omen 2, mm-hmm. and Defiance. I want to preserve my games. So, yeah, I would like to do that. Especially the first Blood Omen. Mm-hmm. That is one I did not play a lot of. It was a top-down type game, and I just didn't play a lot of it. Mm-hmm. Really wasn't interested. But then when Soul Reaver hit, I got really interested in it. And then Soul Reaver 2, I got very interested in it. And then they released Blood Omen 2, which was a sequel to the very first game. Having not played it, but still familiar with the characters involved because of the Soul Reaver series, I was okay in playing Blood Omen 2. I was able to pick up the game from Soul Reaver on, even though I never played the original Legacy of Kain Blood Omen. So, I look forward to doing that. So, I know PS1 and PS2 had some really great games. Yeah, I know. Legacy of Kain, the first one, did not age well, but it's also one that I just never played. And I figure if I'm playing it on current hardware, not that it's going to make it look better, but just to experience it. That's all. There's probably some... I know a lot of people built some mods for Burnout 3 to kind of soften up graphics, to kind of make things look a little bit better than what it is, not so pixelated from going from where it was to where you're playing now. So maybe they had done something like that with those earlier titles, of course. I don't know. It's just really interesting to think back on games like this and say, I want to play those again, but I have no way of doing that.
Yeah.
Now I do. So now some of those games are actually on GOG. I think Soul Reaver, Soul Reaver 2, Defiance, stuff like that. I think that's on good old games, maybe even Steam. I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. But there are places where you can legitimately buy those games and still play them. So AC Wraith says, I enjoyed the first game, but PS1 load times ruined it for me. So I stopped playing, sold it, and regretted it when the PlayStation 2 came out. What else? I'm looking through more news here. There was a lot, honestly, that took place over the week, or over the 2 weeks that we were gone, but not much to really get into. You know, Borderlands continued to bomb at the box office. It's actually available digitally now if you want to watch it. Warner Brothers says that one of their biggest priorities right now is making a sequel to Hogwarts Legacy. Okay. Look into... That's fine. It's okay. I know there's people who enjoy the Harry Potter series and enjoy that world. And honestly, it looked really great when I was looking into it. Mm-hmm. And we'll probably get around to playing it at some point. It's not something that I'm as close attached to as I am with some of their other properties, like Lego, like Batman, or any of the Warner Brothers, any of the DC characters and stuff. So, yeah, it's just another plea for them to go back to Rocksteady and be like, go make the games you guys want to make. You know?
Yeah, but with that sour taste in their mouth,
they're not going to do it.
They're going to do what works.
Right, because they're going to cite the fact, that's the problem. They're going to cite the fact that Suicide Squad failed on that they didn't do it right. Not necessarily that they did it completely wrong, but that no. We still need to make money after the game sells. So we still need to put this stuff in here. We just need to do it differently this time, right? Because Suicide Squad didn't work. Or they get some weird thought in their head, and this is so... Be careful when I'm talking. This is so like what they would do as well. Maybe it'll work on the Harry Potter people. Let's do what we did with Suicide Squad. But that didn't work because of... I don't know what they'll say. Comic books or something. I don't know.
Something they'll justify or whatever. The bottom line is...
Another stupid move.
Yeah, like you said, they're going to go for the money grab because they want money after the fact, right?
Yeah, let me look at this article. Let's see. To date, 24 million copies of Hogwarts Legacy have been sold across all consoles and PC. Although a follow-up game hasn't been formally announced, Warner Brothers isn't being ambiguous about its plans. According to one executive with the company, getting a sequel to that title is top of their list. The video game industry, and this is the quote from that executive, the video game industry is, just like the film business, a hit-driven business. Obviously, its successor to Hogwarts Legacy is one of the biggest priorities in a couple years down the road. they're probably already working on that, I would imagine. Mm-hmm. If they're looking at it being a couple years down the road, that game's already in development.
Yeah.
So, didn't offer any details about the potential Legacy sequel, but his remarks seem to indicate that the next game is still years away at the earliest. The original game was developed by Avalanche Studio, or Software, and the story was set roughly a century before the life of Harry Potter. Players were given the freedom to create their own characters, all that stuff. So, yeah, it's we'll see how this works out. I would love it if they left it alone to just say, hey, let's do this again, but give them more, you know, give them, just refine the mechanics, make it better, all this stuff, but just give them more. That'd be great. But I worry that they're going to get greedy, especially with the fact that Rocksteady or the Suicide Squad did so bad.
I would say, don't worry.
That they got to make up for it.
Don't worry about it. Expect it.
Yeah.
At this point, yeah, just expect it. When the fallout happens, they will not learn their lesson, and they'll try another. How many franchises they got to work with?
I mean, they've got a ton.
Yeah.
So. It's Warner Brothers.
So, yeah.
And oddly, that they have Warner Brothers, and they're not doing anything with the Looney Tunes characters outside of multiverses.
Yeah.
Like, you have a bunch of characters at your disposal, and you are where's my Lego Looney Tunes?
I want to say relevance, because what projects have they been in lately?
That, okay, we can get into that with 15 minutes left in the show, sure.
Okay.
Because they did an entire film with, what was it, Acme versus Wile E. Coyote, I believe, was going to be the name of the film, I think. Something like that. It was going to be some kind of courtroom whatever, like Wile E. Coyote sues the Acme company because all their products got him hurt.
Mm-hmm. To our enjoyment.
Right, yeah. Right, exactly. But they were going to set that. It was going to be a mix between animation and live action. They were going to do this.
Okay.
They filmed it. It is filmed. It is complete. A lot like what they did with Batgirl.
Batgirl, yeah.
Filmed it, completed it, shelved it for tax purposes. Said, we'll just count it as a write-off, and they shelved it. They didn't even, like, shop it around for distributors. Actually, they did. They did shop it around to distributors. They shopped it around to distributors, but they put the price so high that nobody wanted to buy it. And they said, yeah, we tried to save it. No, you didn't. You just took the tax write-off on it, or whatever the case may be, and you shelved it. And they did the same thing there. They do have another film, a fully animated film, I believe, being released.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember. It's a Daffy Porky led thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't remember the name of it. Something like The End of the World or something like that. I can't remember what it is.
Mm-hmm.
But that seems to be getting a release. It's probably nothing but like a less than 90-minute little animated feature.
I guess the point I'm trying to make with the Looney Tunes is, I don't know, maybe you with the chat can correct me on this. I don't see them on much of anything like they used to be.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, the occasional movie here and there, they're not getting exposed as much as they used to.
Yeah.
And it's kind of a generational thing. Some folks don't know who some of these characters are. So,
well, what year was it? And I hate to reference this, but what year was Space Jam 2? Was it 2020? No, 2021. And I could be even wrong that it was called Space Jam 2. I think it was called something else. But that's
Space Jam: A New Legacy.
Yeah, I think so.
Hmm.
What's the year on that?
July of 2021.
21. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a long enough time without kind of any relevance. Plus, that film did not do well at all.
Space Jam was 96.
Yeah.
So,
but that other movie did not do well. But it's the Looney Tunes, man. They have been around for ages. And you've got a lot of video game talent to really do something with them that doesn't necessarily have to be in cel-shaded aspect. You know what I'm saying? I think there's a way you could do it. I don't know. And I don't know how. Would you aim it towards kids? Would you aim it towards people that grew up with those characters?
Who would be the bigger audience right now, though?
That's a good question.
Do enough kids if you're trying to market the kids, do enough kids know about who these characters are? And of course, the bigger one would be the folks who grew up with it.
So. Yeah. Well, one of the things that I've been watching recently, and we'll get into that, but is it's on Amazon Prime, Batman Caped Crusader. Mm-hmm. It is Bruce Timm and all the folks that worked on the Batman animated series from way back when. They have taken that aspect of what that Batman animated series was, but they've moved it into not necessarily a more modern setting. It still has that Art Deco, that 30s sort of feel to it, like the original series did.
Yeah.
Absolutely does that. But they realize that the people who loved and enjoyed that are in their 40s now. And so the storylines and the subject matters are more along the lines of people who would enjoy watching something in their 40s with that.
Go film noir.
Right, which they've done.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've absolutely done. And it's wonderful. I'm really, really enjoying that. So take that with your Looney Tunes. And I realize that may not be something because Batman's a far cry away from Bugs Bunny. But I realize you could possibly do something with that. It doesn't have to be adult. You know what I'm saying? But it could look more polished than just a cell shader type thing to make it look like it's animated. There's plenty of ways that you go about it. I just don't know how the gameplay or the story or anything like that might look. Mm-hmm. But then I say this, and I look at a game like Astrobot that just released. Everything about that shouts kids game, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I am drawn to it immensely. And every review that I read about talks or that I've read or watched or anything else talks about the sheer amount of joy they have just playing that game. The nostalgia drip that it feeds the player for people who have grown up on platformer games like this. And to see everything, it's just beautiful. It runs at a solid 60 frames per second, 4K. But yeah, it's, you can have something that looks like it's aimed towards kids, but that every single person can enjoy. And I think Warner Brothers could do that with their Looney Tunes characters easily. Mm. I really do. I don't know what, but I think they could do that. Lethal Migraine says SpongeBob is a kid's cartoon until you watch it and see that it's most definitely not.
But hasn't that always been the thing? The animators are grown adults and they'll sneak stuff in there if you're not paying attention.
Confession, never seen a single episode of SpongeBob. Maybe a clip here and there. I know about a couple of things. Never seen a single episode. Mm-hmm. Full episode of SpongeBob. So
it's on YouTube somewhere.
Oh, I'm sure it is. That's so, yeah, little confessional there for you. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Anyway, just going over that. Now we can talk about the Minecraft movie trailer because somebody asked in the chat room about it. I think it was Bama Brian. Has anybody seen the new Minecraft movie trailer? Yeah.
Borderlands?
We'll see. And the reason I say that we'll see on this, no, I didn't like what I saw of it. Mm-hmm. But also, I don't think I'm the age that it's aiming at. We just talked about this with where are you marketing your stuff? You going to little kids, whatever.
Who is this movie for?
Right. And everything about this seems like it's pushing for the audience of Minecraft, not the audience of gamers. Not saying that the people who play Minecraft aren't gamers, but Minecraft right now
Are you trying to satisfy the players of Minecraft or are you trying to satisfy the casual person who might be interested in this?
The players of Minecraft. The people who are playing Minecraft right now, which is not me, not a lot of us. It is a whole bunch of kids playing Minecraft, though.
Mm-hmm.
Ton of kids playing Minecraft. Ton of kids wearing Minecraft merch, shirts and bags and all sorts of stuff. And I'm not necessarily saying that it's for kids or whatever, but I feel like this movie is aimed at that audience of the Minecraft players, not at the older audience of Minecraft players. Sure, you might get a little interested in it when you take your kid to see the film, because you'll understand what's going on as well. But I think it's being marketed at somebody, not me. Mm-hmm. Children. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. There's money to be made for marketing to children, for doing the, you know, movies that are aimed at that age group. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like when Angry Birds came out. I never played Angry Birds. Maybe once on a plane.
But you knew about it.
But I knew about it.
Yeah.
And it wasn't something, I think I've seen it once in my life. But it made a whole lot of money. They did a sequel. Mm-hmm. Because it was aimed at the right audience.
Yeah. So the problem I have sometimes with game-based or game-based movies and things like that, they, like I said, they try to cater to the casual moviegoer and not to the people who would have interest mm-hmm. in it. Basically, the people who play the game or are familiar with it.
Right.
So in order to satisfy the casual audience, they'll take some things out or alter things significantly that the fans of the game are going to notice immediately. So when you try to satisfy everybody, you end up satisfying nobody. So mm-hmm. That's a typical thing I've seen, the reason why they fail a lot.
Yeah.
Don't make anywhere near the money they could.
AC Wraith says, are kids still playing Minecraft or are they all off in Roblox? I don't know, man. I don't know what the dominant kid game is now. But it feels like there's still the marketing of Minecraft is very much geared towards kids. Whether it be the merch or the game itself, it all seems to be geared towards kids. So that's where I think this movie will do really well with. Yeah, it looks like another Borderlands. But Borderlands was not aimed at the same market that Minecraft is aimed at. Mm. Borderlands was aimed at the people who are playing Borderlands. And people who have been playing Borderlands. And they got a lot of things wrong with it, even though I haven't watched it. I'm just going by what I've heard. They got a lot of things wrong with it, but... again, I don't even know what the rating on Minecraft is. Probably PG. That's a good question. Yeah. Let me just check.
Yeah, check it out. PG, oof. Not that it'll stop anybody, whatever the rating is.
I don't know that it's got a rating yet. Yeah, there's no rating for it yet. Comes out April 4th, though. Yeah, I don't see anything about it being rated for. I'm not sure. What?
I just looked up the Minecraft movie, and the first thing that popped up in the news thing, it says, "Sorry, the Minecraft movie isn't meant to be for you."
Oh, okay, good. Yeah,
that's okay.
That's probably the exact. I think that's exactly right. It's not meant for you. It's meant. Did you click on that article?
Yeah, I clicked on it.
Does it say who it's aimed for, or who it's meant for?
Who's it?
Just curious.
Maybe your question was, who's the film even for? 9-year-olds, I guess.
Okay.
Yeah. Kids.
Yeah.
Children. So, yeah.
And I think that's the same thing that we're going to get from... I think that's what you'll get out of it.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So, be honest. Let's be honest. Kevin Hart is neither a good actor or funny, so putting him in the movie was always going to sink it. I know. I never understood it either. A lot of that casting I wasn't really sure of regardless, but...
Except Jamie Lee Curtis.
I guess. See, you're more familiar with the lore of that thing than I am. Mm-hmm. You're more familiar with the characters than I am, so...
Well, I mean, she's into gaming and whatnot. It's good, so yeah, I can see that, but everybody else, I don't know.
By the way, Jack Black is cornering the market on our video game films. Bowser... Claptrap, and now whatever that main character is in Minecraft, he's in there now as well.
He's the main character?
He's Steve, the character of whatever the kid, you know, the blue guy, I don't know.
I thought Steve was a young, oh, never mind, okay, never mind. But I thought Steve was a younger guy.
I don't know what Steve is.
Not gray haired with a beard, I don't know.
Steve is the player.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Steve and Yeah.
So
I thought it was just a young guy.
I don't know. I have no clue. Mm-hmm. I really don't know. But he's the guy that plays Steve. Mm. So, yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, who knows?
We shall see. We are coming up on the end of the show here. I want to remind you that tomorrow I'm doing Silver Ball Sundays, which I haven't done in a while. We got two new tables to look at, Goat Simulator Pinball and Princess Bride Pinball. And we're going to take a look at those tomorrow on Silver Ball Sundays. Don't know what time I'm going to stream those, but we will keep you posted on our Twitter account. Just keep watching that.
Going to go for a high score?
Maybe. I don't know. I don't know what the high scores are on that table. Plus, I'm going to be playing Pinball Effects 3, which is, or not Pinball Effects 3, but the new Pinball Effects. So I have to get my footing playing that. Mm-hmm. And I'll stream some Snap, Marvel Snap as well tomorrow. I got to do my snaps, and I'll definitely do that. So want to thank you all for joining us on the show this afternoon after our two-week stint of a break. We really do appreciate that. We're going to be back. Now, you're not going to be here next week, right?
No.
You're not going to be here next week, so just be me. Maybe the mythical Matt will show up. I'll reach out to him, see what he's got going on, see if he wants to join us as well. So, but yeah, we got all that going on. Don't forget to download our show on iTunes whenever we upload it tomorrow. Of course, this video will go live on YouTube tomorrow as well. Don't forget to join us on Twitch, on Discord, the Steam group that we got set up. We're kind of all over the place for you to join in and just kind of enjoy everything that we're doing and you know, interact with everything that we're doing as well. So we really appreciate it. We got music here from Spider-Man 3, which was the game based on the film. But which film was it? I think it was the Spider-Man 3 film. I don't know. It's called Lizard Tension. You guys have a great week. RJ, have a good vacation there. And we'll see you in 2 weeks, but I'll see the rest of you guys in next Saturday. Have a good one.